Are you ready to live a more meaningful and passionate life? Through the principles of heart living, you'll delve into new theories, discover life wisdom, and achieve greater balance. Become inspired. Tune in to Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, international life coach and practitioner who's helped thousands transform their lives. Part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network, Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff will lead you on a remarkable journey of the heart.
Welcome to the Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff show. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, your host. You're listening to a live Dream Vision 7 radio network broadcast at 1510 AM WMEX Boston, heard live every first Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can also tune into my show on the Dream Vision 7 radio network every Wednesday at 2 p.m. and 2 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. To learn more and for a full station broadcast schedule, go to dreamvision7radio.com. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Our topic is letting go of worrying. You know, many circumstances can create worry. And as we all know, some people worry, you could say, as a way of life. So on today's show, we will look at how to let go of worrying and, of course, to do what I call start living. And that's exactly what we will be talking about, to start living by changing, being more aware, taking steps, and improving your life. You know, so many times we have said on this show, and I'm sure you've heard in other venues, that your views about life and your thoughts in general are directly related to the results that you create. So then if you are worrying, you're more likely to create a life that is limited or, I guess we could say, bound by that particular fear that's occupying your mind. And to some extent, it is important to change your orientation to your world if, in fact, you are a worrier. So by thinking and feeling positively about your life, you can open a field of possibility. And this field of possibility is what will surround you, and it will be what is within you, which, of course, in turn will invite greater joy and meaning into your life. So let's go ahead and get started with some ways to do this. I think first I would like to talk about worrying in general and just understanding again as we get started what we mean. And it's important to understand really that worrying is a waste of your time and energy. And certainly it can negatively affect your health. And, you know, I always say that worrying is like running a low-grade fever of fear, you know, but it doesn't have any benefits. So really the question to ask yourself is, are you a natural worrier? Do you find yourself worrying more often than you find yourself feeling content? You know, that would be important. Like, what is your natural state? Do you feel more content? Do you worry as a natural state? Einstein, in one of his famous quotes, said that each of us has an orientation to the world in which we see it as, he says, either a friendly or an unfriendly place. And in turn, he suggests that this mindset that we hold, friendly or unfriendly, will affect everything in our lives. And I personally truly believe that. So again, I think the first question that we should ask ourselves is, how do you perceive the world to be? You know, is it a friendly place or an unfriendly place? Because people who perceive the world to be an unfriendly place are more likely to worry or really just to feel the need to control life outcomes. That would be another way to put it. And, of course, if you grew up in a family where it wasn't safe, that may be one of the reasons why you do that. Or you were taught, you know, you have to worry. Some of my clients have told me that they did grow up in a family that promoted worrying as a response to life. And they were actually led to believe that if they were not worrying, something, you know, could happen. Like they might be shocked or surprised, but ultimately something negative would happen if they didn't worry. It was as though worrying was supposed to keep that from happening. Now, this can also be explained another way. Some people learned through childhood, and again, especially if their family environment wasn't really safe, they would have learned that what I call a hypervigilant strategy. You know, I've got to check everything out, I've got to look around, I've got to make sure I'm okay, this hypervigilance, that this hypervigilant strategy of worrying would keep bad things from actually coming to them. It's almost like if they could just pay attention closely, they could circumvent something. And I can't tell you how many times clients have mentioned this to me as a way in which they were actually brought up. So we know that our thoughts help create our reality, And, you know, therefore, if you are worrying in that regard, it would be as though you're actually giving energy to a possible negative outcome. And as some might say, even, you know, drawing these unhelpful circumstances to yourself. So worrying really does not provide any direct benefit. And I think as simple as that statement sounds, if you are a worrier, you need to really absorb that statement, understand that fully, take it in and realize that worrying does not provide any real benefit. And what also happens is that your worries and your fears end up limiting you because, you see, they filter your messages. And often they'll cause you to make choices in which you don't reach your full potential. So, again, think about it. I'm worried, so if I get an opportunity, the worry is going to filter the messages so that I tend to pick up the messages that match what it is I'm worried about versus those that would open me up to a new possibility. When you constantly feel uneasy or you're overly concerned about a problem or a situation, your mind and body, they go into overdrive. And I know if you're a worrier, you know what I'm talking about. So, again, your mind and body go into overdrive as you focus, in most cases, on what might happen. And your tendency is to focus on, of course, the negative outcomes of what might happen, not the positive. Because you're doing this, I think, when I've done it, this is my, you know, reason for doing it, I'm trying not to meet my worst fear. But actually, this focus of worrying could cause you to tune out possibilities, again, of a more successful outcome or opportunity. So in addition to limiting the very quality of your life, an even greater side effect of chronic worrying is that it could actually affect your daily life so much so that your health would suffer. And people do sometimes develop, through anxiety that they have, they develop various kinds of corresponding illnesses. So you see, worrying doesn't just affect your mental health. It can affect your physical well-being. And a couple of thoughts that come to mind when I've asked clients is some say that worrying interferes with their appetite, you know, like either they overeat or undereat when they're worrying. It certainly can affect or interfere with your relationships. And the way that you respond in relationships, maybe you're anxiety-ridden, that might promote, the fear of that might cause you to be more angry or sullen or withdrawn. I mean, there's so many ways it could reveal itself. And it certainly can affect your sleep patterns. Many times people sort of replay the day in their at night before they go to bed, so their sleep patterns are affected. And I guess really just overall your basic lifestyle performance. So, you know, essentially, once you accept this first principle that worrying does not provide any true benefits for you, you can then practice ways to channel your energy into a more positive outcome. So let's look at some tips on this. For starters, it's helpful to decide, I think, that everything that happens in your life is happening for a good reason. Now, research has been done on people who have successful outcomes, and one of the ideas was that people who repeatedly had successful outcomes held the belief that everything that was happening, even those challenges and more negative things, seemingly that everything was happening for a good reason, you know, even if they couldn't know what the good reason was at the moment. And some people call this holding a symbolic view of life. So in other words, you know, you don't overly focus on a specific circumstance, but instead you look at the bigger picture of your situation. And I always say, you know, you remember to take a deep breath, and during the challenge or the difficulty, you think about the moment, because of course you have to think about the moment that you're in, and you remember that every moment is really just what I call a dot on the map of your life. So that moment isn't your entire life, that circumstance isn't your entire life, but rather it is a piece of, or, you know, again, my term is a dot on the map of your life. And you remind yourself that everything is going to be okay. And then, of course, you remember the times when you have succeeded, you know, even in other similar difficult situations, you have succeeded. You remember when things have gone well. And rather than focusing on a potential negative outcome, you keep these things in mind. And really, this is so important. And I like to call doing this taking a witness perspective or some of my clients have called it taking a higher view of things. But at any rate, you also recognize that no matter what happens, you know that you can handle it. Now, that's really, really, really important, that no matter what happens, you have some sort of faith in yourself that you're going to be able to handle it. So, you know, even though you haven't experienced that exact thing, you can remember when you have experienced other challenges, and in fact, you did handle it. Because, you see, one of our greatest fears is the fear that we don't think we can handle what life is going to present us. And you have to remind yourself that you can handle your life situation or situations, and of course, you can handle your emotional responses, that you are, in fact, going to be okay. Now, once you're able to do this, and, you know, again, you have to take that deep breath, remember the bigger picture, and then come back into the moment. But then you can begin to embrace life with curiosity and trust rather than with fear. And that is so, so important. And just take small steps every single day that allow you to switch from fear to what I call faith. You know, really, we're doing a dance of faith and fear most of the time anyway in our lifetimes. But just, again, take small steps every day that allow you to switch from feelings of fear to having feelings of faith. And in addition to that, and probably most of all, you have to begin to value yourself and develop a positive attitude about what is available to you, what is going to be available to you, even if you don't see it exactly at that moment. And this leads us to yet what I call another important principle that I teach in Heart Living, and that is that to improve your life, you have to value yourself and, of course, live your life with a positive attitude. But valuing yourself is so important, recognizing and enhancing your own self-esteem. You know, people take you, at least this is my belief, people take you at your own estimation of yourself. And then they will follow the standards that you set for them on how it is that you're wanting to be treated. And if you don't feel good about yourself, well, others are going to pick up this message from you and sometimes will even treat you poorly because it's as though you're saying, you know, I don't deserve anything better than that. So again, you have to look at your own estimation of yourself and decide, is this a good estimation? You know, is this a true estimation? And do I value myself? Remember the good things about yourself, what your skill set is, what you have done, what you can do. Now, when you don't feel good about yourself, again, you'll tend to live in perpetual bad moods, too. So your daily experience might include anger, might include sarcasm, you know. I'm sure if you do that, you know what I'm talking about, but just sort of flippant remarks that your own inner critic makes to you, but anger, sarcasm, or just some manifestation of sadness or fear. So, again, how do you value yourself? Well, to value yourself really doesn't mean that you have to achieve some high standards that, you know, have been set by someone else or to be perfect in any way. But you just have to, or I believe, you have to extend to yourself, maybe that's a better way to put it, you have to extend to yourself unconditional positive regard. So hold a positive attitude about your own self-worth. I love a quote that I heard once by Martha Washington, and the quote is, "I've learned that the greater part of our misery or unhappiness is determined not by our circumstances, but by our disposition." Isn't that great? So I'm going to read that again. "I've learned that the greater part of our misery or unhappiness is determined not by our circumstances, but by our disposition." I've just always loved that quote. So I guess, how do we then improve our disposition? So you see, it's helpful to understand that no one is asking you to be perfect or to never have made a mistake. Instead, you're simply being asked to be the best version of yourself at that time or to treat yourself as though you have value, because of course you do. And, you know, not taking things so personally is very helpful. And second, you recognize that you can change the way you have been living, particularly if it hasn't been working. So the other thing, I always like to use three magic words, I call them, up until now, because at any given moment in your life, you can change what is happening or has happened up until now. So you don't have to drag your history into the present. And change itself is a natural part of life, so your new, more positive orientation toward life certainly will work for you rather than against you. So even right at this moment or after this show or whatever, just evaluate how you are responding to life. How loving kind are you to yourself? That's really going to be important. Now, our past and whether or not we have issues that I think of as unresolved issues, you know, those can greatly affect our present lives too. So as you're kind of evaluating how you're responding to life, it's helpful to ask yourself, how do I feel about my past? You know, is there something I still need to make peace with? Because if I have unresolved issues or I'm not happy about something that has happened, let's say you're not happy about the way you left your last job or a relationship or so on, well, that's going to carry into the present. So really work on forgiveness and letting go of or releasing unresolved issues or getting closure. Now, my experience is that people who create positive experiences know that the past is not a steadfast predictor of the future, too. And just because something happened a certain way in the past, it can be different now. And that is so, so important. And what often disempowers a person or would keep you stuck is having an inability to get past something that has occurred. And, you know, it could have happened yesterday or when you were 5 years old. But if you haven't reconciled it again or forgiven yourself or somebody else or just somehow released it, you will carry it right into the future. And, you know, if we don't consciously think about the situation, we may subconsciously think about it, and it will still have an impact on our lives in that subconscious way. So really look at what are my loose ends, what needs to be released, tied up, let go of, and so on. I have always said that the universe gives us repeated opportunities for what we need to master, what we need to let go of, or what we need to heal. And I call it the spiral of life. And I often say to my clients in a coaching session, I'll say, you know, let's take a look at your life and we'll see these repeated patterns, repeated opportunities. Now, the repetition of what occurs, the repetition of the wound, let's say, of rejection or whatever it is, that's not what's going to heal you at all. It's your response to the repeated opportunity that heals you. You can respond differently now. And if something happened when you were a child, you really didn't have any power at that time, but you have power now. So to kind of go back, you know, people who accept that they are not powerless, or in other words, they accept that even though the future is uncertain, they still do have power, these people generally feel deserving. And it's important to know that, or I believe they know, that they can still expect good things to come to them. And in turn, they know that they're contributing to positive outcomes in their lives. And instead of seeing life as happening to them, and this to me is really, really important, so life isn't happening to them, they accept that they hold the leading role in their lives. Or I always think of life as like a play, you know, you're a play. And so people are aware that they are the producer as well as the main character and the director of their own play. And by valuing yourself in this way and holding a positive outlook and attitude, you're less likely to fall into the trap of meeting other people's needs at the expense of your own. Because a lot of times people live as a secondary character in someone else's drama, and you're less likely to do that or to focus on needing approval from others to gain your own self-worth. And you don't waste time trying to change other people either, but instead you work on changing yourself and improving your own attitude and, you know, what I liken to be your own circumstances. So this disposition of yours, your attitude, your mood, you know, whatever you want to call it, I like to think of it as disposition, which is what Martha Washington was saying, it's directly linked to your thoughts. And remember, we've said earlier, your thoughts, if they're fear-based or you're always trying to second-guess how to control your world or to stay safe, well, you're not fully participating in creating this good life that you're wanting. And instead, as mentioned before, you're doing what is called filtering. So let me make a few more comments about filtering. Filtering can be seen as the act of limiting or tuning out options because they don't align with whatever your filter is telling you. So, you know, they don't align with you being safe or continuing, let's say, to hold that point of view that you have, even if it's a negative point of view that's related to worrying. So again, filtering is the act of limiting or tuning out options. And by the way, that point of view that you're holding could be pessimistic or not hopeful at all. So now you're tuning out the more hopeful options. And what I have decided when I'm, you know, teaching this type of idea, I will say filtering keeps you from receiving all the messages and all the ideas that are actually coming to you. See how that works? So we're great at building evidence to support or uphold our fear-based beliefs. And because of this filtering system that each of us has, your fear can keep you constantly focused also on what could be termed the circumstantial issues of your situation, rather than on what is being said or even what is happening or, again, what this opportunity that's being presented to you is really all about. And in that way, your fears not only could be limiting the possibilities, but I even have said they make decisions for you at a less conscious level. So that's an interesting way to look at it. Your fear is making your decision, not you in a more objective way. But, you know, as you co-create life, you do so by limiting, filtering information, and your fears will help to reinforce what you want to hear or see or know could be right. And we're going to talk more about that when we return from our break, but it is time for a break. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, your host for Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, live with Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, 1510 AM WMEX Boston. We will be back for further tips on letting go of worrying. To call in during our second half of the show, the local number 617-237-1234, toll free 866-338-9663. Thanks so much for listening.
Are you ready to live a more meaningful and passionate life? Through the principles of heart living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, international life coach and energy medicine practitioner, you'll delve into new theories, discover life wisdom, and achieve greater balance. Become inspired. Connect with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff through her Dream Vision 7 radio show, Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff. Visit Cynthia's website at heartliving.com and like her Facebook page at facebook.com/heartliving for inspiration and guidance. Cynthia has helped thousands transform their lives. Let her lead you on a remarkable journey of the heart. Take a journey to a place of the divine love within with Deborah Beauvais on the Love by Intuition show every first and third Sunday, 9 to 10 p.m. Our message is love in the purest form. The light within us all is a guide to recall our beginning, to learn to love self and humankind, to feel the higher power of our own divinity. To attract love, one needs to be love. Every first and third Sunday from 9 to 10 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network. Life. We can either be bystanders or creators. Now is the time to awaken to your divine identity and the power of the I Am within to create a joyous and fulfilled life, no matter what your circumstances are. There are answers to life's big questions, and there is a spiritual path that leads to soul liberation and ascension. Join us every third Sunday of the month at 6 p.m. Eastern Time for Prophets for the New Age with Carl and Nancy Showalter on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Join us every second Sunday at 7 p.m. for Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, where we explore the mysteries, meaning, and sometimes madness of life. Let's figure out together the ways we're meant to serve and become the fullest expressions of our most authentic selves. Let's figure out together how to create lives of balance, abundance, and joy. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Join Dr. Bernie Siegel on Mind Health Matters every first Sunday at 8 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network. Bernie will draw from his inspirational personal journey, offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom. Listen in as Bernie reminds us to be fully engaged in life.
Ask Dr. Love is now on the Dream Vision 7 radio network every second and fourth Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Dr. Jamie Turndorf, a.k.a. Ask Dr. Love, is a psychotherapist, author, love and relationship expert who offers advice and answers to your relationship questions. Hear about Dr. Love's groundbreaking new Dialoguing with the Departed technique that enables you to reconnect and make peace with a loved one. This show is for you, the listener, and Dr. Love wants to hear from you. Call 866-338-9663 or 617-237-1234.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Are you ready to live a more meaningful and passionate life? Through the principles of heart living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, international life coach and energy medicine practitioner, you'll delve into new theories, discover life wisdom, and achieve greater balance. Become inspired. Connect with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff through her Dream Vision 7 radio show, Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff. Visit Cynthia's website at heartliving.com and like her Facebook page at facebook.com/heartliving for inspiration and guidance. Cynthia has helped thousands transform their lives. Let her lead you on a remarkable journey of the heart. Join us every first Sunday of the month at 7 p.m. for Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, where you'll discover life wisdom and achieve greater spiritual awareness. Through Cynthia's coaching tips, healing stories, and inspirational interviews, you'll improve your relationships, find greater balance, and achieve inner peace today. Join thousands who've transformed their lives through Heart Living. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to a Dream Vision 7 radio live broadcast here at 1510 AM WMEX Boston. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, host of Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff. Our topic this evening is letting go of worrying. You can call in during our show by calling the local number 617-237-1234, or you can call toll-free 866-338-9663. Thanks for tuning in. So prior to our break, we were talking about filtering, and we said that filtering is something that we do that keeps us from receiving all the messages and ideas that come to us, and filtering can occur as a result of our fears. And you see, in this way, with filtering, your fears not only could be limiting your possibilities, but I had mentioned also making decisions for you, and all of this would be done at a less conscious level. But as you do co-create your life, and you do so by filtering your information, your fears would keep reinforcing what you want to hear or see or, you know so that you could be right about it. And in that way, again, your fears really can fracture your relationship to the world. And the vicious cycle of your thoughts, what about that? Well, it's important to know that how you're creating your world is directly linked to your thoughts. And, you know, that this could be whether they're a vicious cycle or whether your thoughts are at peace. It's going to impact the way that your world is being created. So I ask clients questions when I'm working with them, both individually and also in groups. And I want to mention just a few of these so that you can think about them as well. Because first I say to them, you know, do you take what others say and do personally? And, of course, in turn, if you do, allow others to affect your self-worth. You see, if you do, you'll be at the mercy of other people's opinions and behavior for how you're living your life. And it's as though you'll be giving other people the role of directing your life because your behavior will happen in response to, you know, their response to you. So it is really important not to take things too personally. Second, the question would be, do you blame yourself, you know, about things that are going on? Or I guess another way would be like to go to extremes with words like always, this always happens this way, this never happens, and so on when you're talking about life. Because when you do say things like it always happens this way or it never did work and all of that, those words always and never are called absolutes. And that's really what those words are called. And I should say sentences that contain these words that are called absolutes are generally not true, you know, because you can't say something always or never happens in most cases. So that should be a flag for you if you find yourself doing that. And third, do you typically feel disempowered about ways to improve your life? Do you feel like, you know, you just don't have a lot of power in regard to what's going on? Because if I live my life as though I have only a few options or I just can't seem to see a way out of the stuck place, I definitely will feel powerless. And this feeling of being powerless will cause me or will cause you to succumb to your life situation by accepting what life gives you as though you don't have any power to respond differently, or, you know, you'll think that you don't have the power to make a change. And another way that I like to explain all this and to teach it is this. I like to think in life that we're doing a dance. And I had said earlier it's the dance of faith and fear, but there's also a dance going on, and I say it's a dance of two actions. And those actions are directing and allowing. Again, directing and allowing. Now, sometimes we are directing our lives. We're making things happen. We're actively engaged in life, and we're directing the flow of things through these responses, these active responses that we're, you know, creating. But too much directing, and sometimes we do that, just too much directing can turn into trying to over-control your life situation. Like, fear often causes us to do too much directing. And, of course, if you do that, it can be very, very limiting. Allowing is quite different from directing. And, of course, you can think about it. Allowing is like to literally allow things to occur, to take place. And allowing, along with directing, if it's in balance, this will provide probably the best way to approach your life. It's like a certain amount of allowing and directing provides the perfect balance, really, for creating your life. Because together, they create a balance of energy. You know, sometimes you need to show up and direct things. And other times you need to surrender and kind of allow things, trust, have faith, and so on. So by changing your thoughts and balancing the energy in your life of directing and allowing, you can change not only your mood, but you can change your connection to possibility. And what I would say you can change is, you know, your connection to your world. So instead of focusing on all the what-ifs, you know, what if this happens, what if that happens, or focusing on any lacks or deficits in your life, you can focus on the best possible outcome and really think through what is the best possible outcome. I've had people say to me, I can remember a woman saying to me once, she said, well, what if it doesn't come out like I want it? What if I'm disappointed? And honestly, my thought in response to that was, you know, is it, if you were going to be disappointed anyway, so why not at least hold a positive outlook and try to draw that to yourself and create that rather than to decide to be disappointed from the start? It's kind of crazy, isn't it, the way that is? And there is also a saying that I want to share with you, and that is that thoughts become things. Again, thoughts become things. So, you know, I think the problem is that our thoughts come so fast that we don't even recognize them as thoughts, and our thoughts become reactions in life. You know, and how reactionary are you in your life? When that goes on or when that happens, sometimes we experience life as, oh, well, you know, that's the way it is. Can't do anything about it. And we often don't feel we have a choice in how to think or how to respond or to actively choose our thoughts. But the reality, and this is what we're talking about really with co-creating our life, the reality is that we can actively choose our thoughts. We can monitor our thoughts. And there's a saying that each of us has an inner critic. So you have to, like, really address the inner critic in yourself and say, you know, am I beating myself up? How kind am I being to myself? You can really monitor your self-talk, too. Just pay attention for an hour in a given day and see, you know, what are my thoughts? How am I responding to myself? Because without realizing it, many people have developed what could even be called unhelpful thinking. You know, instead of actively choosing their thoughts, they live by default. And again, in reactionary patterns. So it's going to be important to think of new ways to approach circumstances or new possibilities, new choices. and to learn how to practice the pause, you know, just to pause and say, all right, I don't have to respond that way. I could respond a different way. Just mainly it's important to realize that you can change and improve your life by practicing more positive thinking. Now, you've heard the term positive thinking, I'm sure, so many times before, but let's really look at what do we mean by positive thinking. I think that the best definition for positive thinking is that you're actively choosing your thoughts, and again, actively choosing your thoughts, or you're trying to possess reasonable and positive expectations. Because if you are focusing on reasonable and positive expectations, that hopefully will contribute to positive results. And instead of worrying and living in reactionary, unproductive patterns, with positive thinking, you feel like you're able to take control of your thoughts and direct them in such a way that they're, you know, more friendly to what's going on in your life and more friendly to keeping you in a state that's more peaceful within yourself. So you're going to pay attention to what you're thinking rather than to go about your life in a less conscious way. Another way that I like to talk about this is to say you'll be a little more consciously intentioned, a little more positively intentioned. Now, if you don't pay attention to what you're doing, you might end up living your life by default rather than by design. And by design, which is what I'm advocating, you would consciously choose what you want to focus on or, you know, just what you want to emphasize in your life. So remember in the law of attraction, and we have the idea that thoughts become things, that is actually based on the law of attraction, which is, the law of attraction is like saying like attracts like, or whatever your mind thinks and focuses on, it's going to begin to create. And the law of attraction operates with your beliefs and your expectations. So if you actively choose what you're paying attention to, and again, you're choosing positive, helpful thoughts, the law of attraction would say that you're more likely to create those positive, helpful circumstances or to create more joy and positive outcomes. And again, you can track your thoughts for an hour in a day. And I think, you know, my experience with clients is that you might be surprised at how many thoughts pass through your mind. It is time for a break. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, your host for Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, live with Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, 1510 AM WMEX Boston. We'll be back for further tips on letting go of worrying. To call in during our second half of the show, the local number is 617-237-1234 or toll-free 866-338-9663. Thanks so much for listening.
Are you ready to live a more meaningful and passionate life? Through the principles of heart living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, international life coach and energy medicine practitioner, you'll delve into new theories, discover life wisdom, and achieve greater balance. Become inspired. Connect with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff through her Dream Vision 7 radio show, Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff. Visit Cynthia's website at heartliving.com and like her Facebook page at facebook.com/heartliving for inspiration and guidance. Cynthia has helped thousands transform their lives. Let her lead you on a remarkable journey of the heart.
J.T. Lewis is the big brother of Jesse Lewis, who died in Sandy Hook Elementary on December 14, 2012, while saving the lives of nine of his classmates. J.T. found comfort after Rwandan orphan genocide survivors reached out to him from their country to express their condolences and share their personal stories of tragedy and healing. Inspired by the love that was shown to him, J.T. started Newtown Helps Africa, a nonprofit organization that helps young people in Africa and beyond who've suffered personal tragedy and have shown resilience. He successfully sent one young Rwandan woman to college for 4 years and plans to do much more, all the while inspiring many young people around the world to turn hardship into an opportunity to make the world a better place. Link on to NewtownHelpsRwanda.org.
Are you ready for the quantum age?
Humanity's next step in evolution?
Dream Vision 7 Radio Network invites you to the extraordinary platform of evolutionary voices for the quantum age.
Let's explore. Learn more about this upcoming age where we bridge science with spirituality.
Where potentiality meets reality.
Where we take compassion into action.
Our trailblazers and visionaries will ask the whys, the what ifs, while igniting continuous possibility.
Come along with us into an age beyond what we know today, where we can grow together in unity consciousness.
Experience evolutionary voices for the quantum age Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on DreamVision7Radio.com. What if everything that you've been taught about who you are and what life is has been untrue? Join Devra Laval, host of Living in Quantum Love, where she'll explore and dissect the limiting beliefs and wrong understandings that have only served to keep us not only separate from one another, but from our own selves. Living in Quantum Love can be heard every third Sunday of the month at 8 p.m. Eastern on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Join Devra and take a leap to freedom.
The goal of the Jesse Lewis Choose Love Foundation is to cultivate a more peaceful world by creating awareness that we can choose love. By providing tools for our children and communities, we can enable them to develop a healthy level of optimism that leads to resilience. Our mission is to give people the understanding that they can choose love by living a life with gratitude, having the ability to forgive, and to be compassionate. This is a proactive effort towards mental health that'll provide children and adults with the perspective and wisdom they need to be able to navigate through life in a happy, fulfilled, and meaningful way. Our website is jessielewischooselove.org.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back. You're listening to a Dream Vision 7 Radio live broadcast here at 1510 AM WMEX Boston. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, host of Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff. Our topic this evening is letting go of worrying. You can call in during this last part of the show by calling the local number 617-237-1234 or toll-free 866-338-9663. Thanks for listening. Now, prior to our break, we had discussed monitoring your thoughts and how that would be helpful in regard to letting go of worrying. And just a couple more notes about that. When you do track your thoughts, and you could try this for about an hour a day. That's the exercise that I like to use in my classes. You really might be surprised at how many thoughts pass through your mind. And when you focus on the helpful thoughts and release those that do not serve you, which is, of course, what you want to do, you really do begin to change your life. And by the way, this doesn't mean that you ignore problems or any of that. It just really means that rather, instead of fixating on the problems, you're going to focus more on solutions. And remember the concept we had talked about of positive thinking. So when you focus on what you can do, okay, solution-focused, or what you do have, or, you know, what is available to you, typically when people do that, they just feel less depressed and hopeless. And you actually address and handle your challenges, and before you know it, you have a greater sense of direction and just feel more inspired overall. And also, overcoming your limitations doesn't seem so daunting to you because one successful result empowers you to create another successful result and so on. And you can begin not only to watch your thoughts again and release those that are fear-based, but then also I would advise just pay attention to the words that you're speaking. You know, just choose your words more carefully. Because sometimes people will come in for a coaching session and say things like, I've never been able to organize my office. So what I help them do is reframe the situation and try to begin with a positive statement instead that reflects their intended positive outcome. You know, not what they think they've never been able to do, but rather what is it you're wanting to do. So, you know, instead of, I've never been able to organize my office, I am able to organize my office. Or even just to see the office as organized and then work toward making that happen. It's kind of like the saying, act as if. So you start acting as if it could happen. You act as if you can do it and so on. And then you move yourself into that reality. Or you've probably heard the term, fake it till you make it. And it's the same kind of thing. So, you know, again, you recognize the problem first. And then the key is to come up with a positive approach toward dealing with the problem, you know, to create and implement some kind of positive solution. But, you know, let go of that all or none thinking, which we talked about with absolutes, and start living in a way that you understand that things are able to be changed. Okay. Now, what research has shown is that happy and successful people, and I think this is also important for us to look at, happy and successful people don't buy into the negative belief that their problems are unchangeable. And this is huge. So, you know, they do not buy into the belief that their problems are unchangeable. So instead of thinking thoughts like, you know, my situation is different than yours or most people, you know, somebody could do it, but I can't, it's never going to change, or nobody understands what I'm going through. See, it's almost like they make themselves special in order to avoid the idea of really changing it or expecting it to change. That really becomes a tape loop in your head. And it becomes part, I think, of that inner chatter. So you got to silence the inner chatter and make sure you don't allow that inner chatter to become the norm. So how do you think you're able to change things? You know, what if it gets really out of control? Because sometimes people come in for coaching and they're just in a really awful situation, not your average situation, but, you know, one that's maybe there's abuse going on, or it could be a workplace that's just really awful and very, very, very stressful. So creating a meaningful life, you know, in those situations can be really, really tough if the current situation is, you know, a daily struggle, or you're just so terribly unhappy about the circumstances and about your life. How do you, you know, what do? How do you change that situation? So when someone comes in a situation like that, I thought it would be important for us to talk about this too, because I'm sure someone who's listening has that kind of situation. I would ask, has this situation been going on for a long time? You know, say the job you're in, you really dislike it, or this relationship you're in is so difficult, and this has occurred over a period of time. So what do you do? Well, it's believed, really, that if you do find yourself in a tough situation, you really only have three viable options. And I'm going to address all three. The first one, and it's just a no-brainer, you can get out of it. Okay? So you can choose, I guess you could say, you can choose to get out of it. That is an option. If you don't want to do that or don't feel that is true for you, the second thing is you can seek to change the situation. And you may have already been trying that, but anyway, you can seek to change it. The third, and you only have three, the third option is you can give up all resistance to it. Now, I'm going to explain all three just so you can kind of evaluate for yourself. But let's go ahead and start with the first option. You can get out of it. So you have to decide in your specific situation if this is possible. You know, there's a saying in Asian culture, and I teach in Japan, and this saying is one that I love. There is suffering that creates more suffering, and there is suffering that ends suffering. And the key is that you have to know the difference. Again, there's suffering that creates more suffering, there's suffering that ends suffering, but the key is for you to know the difference. So, you know, is getting out of the situation going to end a long-term suffering eventually, or is staying going to contribute to continued suffering? Again, you have to weigh it out. And getting out of a bad situation may feel impossible, and, you know, may cause you great suffering to do it, but it could end the long-term suffering that you might experience if you do stay. Now, if that doesn't feel like it's the best option for you right now, or you just don't see how you can do it, let's look at option two, which was to change your situation. In this case, instead of accepting things as they are, you can try to improve things. You know, try a different approach, hold a different viewpoint, you know, seek professional help, okay? But read a book. Do something that would help you, empower you to make a change. And if you try to improve the situation, so you're trying to do this change your situation option, but that doesn't seem to work, and again, you're not willing to leave, because you know, that was the first option, you really only have a third option left, And remember, I had said that is you can give up all resistance in your situation. So let me explain what that looks like. If when you decide to stay where you are and you no longer fight against the situation, okay, that would be giving up resistance, an amazing shift can actually occur. Because instead of pouring your energy into resisting things, by releasing the resistance, you can return your energy to yourself. It's like, I always call it, it's like unplugging from a bad situation. And what's interesting, and I have found this in my own life, is resistance takes enormous amounts of our energy. You know, not wanting to be where you are takes enormous amounts of energy. So again, to practice positive thinking, and this doesn't mean to ignore difficult circumstances if they exist, but rather to think, feel, and believe in the potential for a positive outcome is important. And we all have challenges, and again, one of those three options, if you're in a really difficult challenge, would be important to look at. But if you accept life's challenges and you decide that your life experiences are about learning, you know, you hold that, this is a dot on the map of my life, and so on, just seek support while you try new approaches to life. And there really is, honestly, a lot to be said for what is called just lightening up. There are actually tremendous benefits, by the way, to taking a lighter approach to life. And, for starters, when you release your worries, your fears, the peace that comes can contribute to really great feelings of joy. And you begin to believe in and focus on building yourself a better life. And when you do that, you can open up a whole new world for yourself. Set a new goal, create a new vision, whatever it is. Create something you want to look forward to. But along the way, what's really, really, really important is to begin valuing living in the present, participating fully in what's going on right now. And what's also interesting in regard to manifesting is that gratitude itself, being grateful, is considered the gas pedal for creating a good life. And I personally believe that this is the case because you really cannot be grateful and anxious at the same time. So it's like saying the more grateful you are, the more positive your thoughts become, and the more grateful you are, the less you end up worrying. So take time to appreciate what you do have. And another thing about lightening up, research shows that laughter actually decreases your stress hormones and increases your immune system and provides, of course, resistance to disease. And, you know, laughter itself can protect your heart. Research actually shows that because what happens when you laugh, in addition to relaxing your body, it does increase your blood flow and improves the, function of your blood vessels. So there's so much to look at in regard to humor, therapy, and what do they say, laughter is the best medicine. I think that's the expression. But just being able to bring more joy into your life and practice a little humor therapy is really, really helpful. People who are positive about their lives allow themselves to feel all their emotions, but they focus on moving through life with an attitude that's more positive. And I think as you think and feel positively about your life, you'll find greater meaning in all your life experiences. So essentially, hopefully, you'll find more and more value in allowing and directing and just overall deciding that, again, anything that's occurring is simply a dot on the map of your life. So let's go ahead. We're going to just begin to close our session. And one of the things I want us to look at is that as we draw to a close, I want you to, or I'm encouraging you to visit my website at heartliving.com. I have a weekly blog that I hope that you will subscribe to. I have a Facebook page, which, by the way, is not my name, but is facebook.com/heartliving, the title of my show, Heart Living. And I am holding a one-day workshop on the Chesapeake Bay in Virginia Beach at the Virginia Beach Resort Hotel and Conference Center here in Virginia. It is Saturday, August 13th from 9 to 5, a wonderful healing workshop called Healing Yourself, Creating Wellness for Your Body, Mind, and Soul. There is information on this workshop at my heartliving.com website. I would love to have you join us at that seminar. And there will be special rates at that hotel. But, you know, whatever you end up doing, let go of worry and, above all, promise yourself that you'll look at old perceptions, avoid those old ineffective ways of behavior and contracts that you've made with life itself, and move forward into more positive living. You can lead from your heart with passion and purpose. Thanks so much for listening to our show today. The Heart Living motto is live your life with passion and purpose. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, your host for Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, live with Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, 1510 AM WMEX Boston. Thanks so much for listening.
Are you ready to live a more meaningful and passionate life? Through the principles of heart living, you'll delve into new theories, discover life wisdom, and achieve greater balance. Become inspired. Tune in to Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, international life coach and practitioner who's helped thousands transform their lives. Part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff will lead you on a remarkable journey of the heart.